The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
So what exactly happened on this hunting trip?
Well, Anderson, the details are still coming in, but it's alleged that Walter Parman, this dentist from Minnesota, was in Zimbabwe on the border regions of this park, and that him and the guides lured or baited this lion, this iconic lion, Cecil, from Hwange National Park out of the park, and then he shot him with a crossbow. But that crossbow didn't kill the lion outright. They tracked, according to conservation officials, that lion for 40 hours and then killed it with a weapon of some kind. And then they severed the head as a trophy. Now, the officials say that they're looking for this individual from the U.S. who is allegedly killed this lion. And they say this is both illegal and horribly tragic because it was a huge tourist draw for the country and certainly, at the very least, unethical to bring a lion outside of a reserve like this and to kill it, Anderson.
What else do we know about this American hunter, Walter Parman? And I guess, I mean, could he face charges in Zimbabwe?
Well, he could face charges. And certainly the chief of police in Zimbabwe say they are searching for him. It's unclear exactly where he is right now. Now, Walt Palmer is in his 50s, is a dentist. He's a well-known hunter in those circles and posted, you know, several pictures of himself with big game that he hunted with a crossbow in the past. So certainly this is not the first time he's doing this kind of high-profile hunt. They say they are looking for him. His whereabouts are unknown, as I say, and two of the professional hunters who were on that trip with him have been detained, and they're going to face court charges tomorrow in Zimbabwe.
So with everything going on in the world today, this is the story that dominated much of the news cycle yesterday, mourning the loss of a lion. 1 week, it's same-sex marriage rights. You know all the bizarre stories that have been out there this summer. The white woman who identified as a black woman. The male Olympic champion who sees himself as a woman. Transgender rights. Women's rights. Minority rights. Immigrants' rights. More recently, prisoners' rights. And now, no doubt, we'll hear a lot about animal rights. The world is burning, and at the same time, the world has gone mad. From CNN yesterday, you heard some from that clip there, some of these details. An American man is being sought in connection with a case that has drawn international attention. That's right, international attention. The killing of Cecil the lion. Cecil, who was 13, was a prize lion in one of Zimbabwe's national parks where visitors reportedly sighted him frequently. A video of the animal, regal, indifferent, and sleepy-eyed, has been widely disseminated. He was a participant in a study that Oxford University in Britain was conducting, and he was outfitted with a GPS collar, so he was obviously no regular lion. He was a popular lion, and much of the world is now outraged. There was one late-night talk show host here in the United States that actually started crying on his program over the loss of the lion. And so he's probably an activist and mourning the loss of an animal. I mean, he's not alone, I'm sure. Even in the Bible, it says God takes note of a little sparrow that falls to the ground. But Jesus then followed that up by saying, you are of more value than many sparrows. You human beings. Look at what's happening to human beings on this earth. Look at what human beings are doing to human beings. This man who killed the lion, his life has been threatened by other human beings The Daily Telegraph in London gave us the lowdown on lion hunting, all the details that you need to know in case you're curious. Lion hunting using firearms and a bow and arrow is legal in Zimbabwe and other countries, but in certain circumstances, and so they'll look at the circumstances here and see if they can go after this dentist. The Telegraph says only animals that have been put on an annual hunting quota by Zimbabwe are permissible. Hunters have been known to lure lions out of the boundary of their protected area, and bow hunting can also be used by those hunting illegally or unethically. And so the question is, was this lion killing legal? And no doubt much energy and effort will be invested into the process of finding out. But the outrage over this, well, we'll compare it to some of the other news events from the summer. The Daily Mail had this headline yesterday: a coward and a killer. Protesters target U.S. dentist's surgery after he admits paying $55,000 to kill Cecil, Africa's most famous lion, as supermodels lead international outrage. The models are outraged over this. It says death threats have been sent to the American dentist who killed Cecil the lion in Zimbabwe earlier this month amid growing anger over the protected animal slaughter. Notice the words used here. Slaughter. Tributes to the butchered lion have poured in thousands of miles away at the dentist's office in Minnesota, where protesters dressed as dentist hunters also threw stuffed lions at his house. Celebrities, including models, have also blasted the dentist, calling him a poor excuse of a human being. Finally, it says one of the strongest denunciations came from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, which said on its Twitter account that this dentist should hang for killing Cecil. He should be executed, they said. And meanwhile, as some commentators have brought out, over the last couple of weeks, you've seen all these videos about Planned Parenthood. Several videos, and more to come, showing Planned Parenthood officials, personnel, doctors, openly discussing, over lunch, harvesting baby parts, harvesting organs from aborted babies. It simply cannot get any more sick than this. Finding creative ways to kill unborn children so that their body parts might be sold on the black market here in the United States. Here in the United States of America. And yet, so far as I can tell, there's been some outrage online. But there have been no protests. There's certainly not been an international outcry. No one's been shamed into resigning, not that I know of. Now, some in Congress proposed legislation, I think just yesterday, to defund Planned Parenthood. But that's not going to get off the ground because the administration in the White House will veto it. We have to protect Planned Parenthood. We have to protect a woman's right to choose. We have to protect this organization that's harvesting baby parts. And so collectively we shrug all of this off and then organize a protest over a dead lion of all things. Are you not of more value than many sparrows? Jesus said. That Islamist that murdered the 5 U.S. servicemen in Chattanooga, that was, what, a couple of weeks ago? It didn't get half the publicity that Cecil the Lion got yesterday. Not even half. What about the Kate Steinle murder? earlier this month. Here was an illegal immigrant, a felon, had been deported several times, stoned on drugs, carrying a weapon, on his way to shoot sea lions. Maybe if it was a lion, it would have gotten more publicity. He's on his way to shoot sea lions, and then he murders this woman. He murders this woman. We're living in a world that has gone mad. We are. Jews are fleeing Europe. They're fleeing from Europe. Christians are being slaughtered routinely in the Middle East, in North Africa. Women and girls being made sex slaves, that's a daily occurrence in Syria, in Iraq. It happens daily. There's Muslim girls being mutilated by the tens of thousands in Britain, of all places. In Britain, look it up. You know all about the gruesome executions, burning people alive, beheading individuals. The most recent shocker, a little teenage boy beheading a captive. The worst kind of child abuse. And then you zoom out and look at the world at large, the Russian Empire on the march. China building a navy to take down the U.S., Iran, of course, building the bomb. America helping them. The United States being overrun by the illegals. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, the Euro crisis. It has a lot of people in Europe calling for a United States of Europe. And yet, look at the stories that generate the most interest in your world. Look at the stories that arouse passion. Look at the stories that get a real intense reaction. Look at what people are outraged by. Look at how selective the outrage is. Look at what prompts people to show up in protest. On the other hand, look at what many people turn a blind eye to. Look at what many people ignore. You may have seen a video clip a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, this political talk show. I think there were six people on the panel. And one young Jewish commentator who made the mistake of calling a man dressed as a woman. And then the transvestite threatened him physically, threatened to send him home in an ambulance. And everyone on the panel was outraged, not by the threat of assault, but that this young man had the audacity to say he, when he should have said she. Look at what outrages people today. It's a world that's mad. It's a world that's upside down. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. Here is the world today described in detail by the Apostle Paul. So many prophecies are being fulfilled. And yes, it's fine to have compassion for animals. But look at this world today, and look at how little compassion there is for other human beings. Look at how much evil there is. Look at how much it's spreading. Look at how oblivious so many of our people are to prophecies that are being fulfilled that God talked about in the Bible thousands of years ago, unfolding, it seems, daily now. We've been trumpeting these prophecies for decades. particularly about the union of nations in Europe, the rise of the King of the South there in the Middle East, the decline of the United States and Britain. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," not even a natural affection, "truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors," Paul says, "heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." There's so many things in this world that we should be crying about daily. I mean, when you think about Christ's admonition in Matthew 6 to pray, "Thy kingdom come," why do you pray that prayer? Why do you say it with fervency, energy, and passion? Why do you yearn for the kingdom of God? Why do you desperately want it to be set up on this earth? Well, because you look at the world today and you see just how perverse it is. You see how much evil there is in these last days. Men, it says, who love to seek pleasure more than they seek God. Paul also said that, this is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." See, it's going to be unexpected. And that's because people are turning a blind eye to the stories, the events, the happenings of true significance. That's why. They're blind to what's really happening in the world today. In verse 3, this is from 1 Thessalonians 5, the Phillips translates part of that verse as this: "Catastrophe will sweep down upon them as suddenly and inescapably as birth pangs to a pregnant woman." That's what's coming, catastrophe. It's sweeping down upon us suddenly, inescapably. Which is why we better open our eyes and wake up to what's happening. I think since Roe v. Wade, I've heard it said this week that in the United States of America, we've killed some 55 million babies. We've killed enough human beings to make up a large nation on this earth. Well, that's got to be nearly the size of Britain. I think Britain has, what, 65, 70 million people? In the United States, we've killed 55 million in, what is it, 35, 40 years? It's routine. And now we get to see Planned Parenthood officials talking about harvesting the organs while they dine on salad and wine. It's no big deal. That's nothing to be outraged by. That's nothing to cry about. Certainly not. No need for a protest there. The models aren't upset. Celebrities aren't upset by that. Most politicians aren't. A few maybe. I don't know if Planned Parenthood, I don't know if they're getting any death threats, not that they should. What a difference, the reaction. Says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot about our world today. verse 7 in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." A lot of people just continue to sleep on. But to that rare individual who sees the great evil of this sin-drenched world, a world that's just drunk on the pagan customs and perverse traditions of human beings. To this individual who's willing to forsake the ways of man and to turn to God in repentance, in faith, in obedience to God's laws summarized by the Ten Commandments, God offers a never-ending supply of love and mercy. He offers life-changing revelation and truth. The only sure hope there is for any individual, the only hope there is for this dying world, God's truth. Where is the focus? Paul beseeched the brethren at Rome. Now is high time to awake out of sleep, for salvation's nearer than when we believed. Now is the time for you listening to this broadcast to pour your heart into God's work, into, as I covered yesterday, into the study of God's Word. There's so many prophecies being fulfilled. That's what I'm talking about here today. The focus, the priorities. Seeing this world the way God sees it. Having the emotion that God shows. Being outraged by what outrages God. Having the mercy and the compassion that God shows continually. God's an emotional being, and He created us as human beings to have emotion and to learn to control those emotions, which you don't see much of in the world today. They're out of control. But look, for people in this world to take up a cause and to devote their lives to something that really is not near as important as many of the subjects that are discussed in the Bible, if they can devote their lives to it and really give everything to that cause, can't we put some real energy and devotion into our support of God's work? You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the live stream's available at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Over the last few weeks, we've been going over bits and pieces of Christ's message there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. Last time we got through, I believe, some of the instruction there on prayer, where Christ gives us a prayer outline to build our prayers around. He said there, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, but address the Father like you would your human father. And then in verse 10 of Matthew 6, it says, "You pray, Thy kingdom come." Here we are asking that God's literal government be set up on this earth. We want the kingdom established. We yearn for it, as I said at the first segment there. We eagerly desire it. We long for it because we are watching world events. We see what's happening to our fellow man. Pray, thy kingdom come, verse 10 continues, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done. Pray that God will intervene in the affairs of this world and bring about this grand plan of salvation. And quickly, pray for God to work in your life. Pray for your work to be a huge contribution to God's work. God's called us, after all, to be a living sacrifice. You can see that in Romans 12. You can see it in Galatians 2:20. Jesus himself said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. If you're a follower of Christ, you follow that example. My meat, my sustenance is to fulfill the will of God, to finish the work of God. We need help and support all along the way. We need power coming from God. We need food, as we discussed yesterday. We need truth. Verse 11 in Matthew 6 says, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for it daily. Ask for spiritual food daily. Give us this day our daily bread. You talk about priorities, as I mentioned there in the first segment. Here's where they're established daily. Here's how you know what's important and significant each day. It all starts in your prayers to God. It all starts in your relationship with God. Seeing the events of this world in proper perspective. Seeing it through God's eyes. This is life-changing prayer. Life-changing communication. God really wants us to break it down into daily increments. He wants us to establish the right set of priorities. After the prayer outline, it talks for several verses there about fasting as well. And then he gets into priorities a little further down in Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Physical things, you see, will wear out. Physical things, they'll fade away. Focus on the spiritual. Focus on the source of spiritual food. Focus on the source of spiritual wealth. God offers it to you freely, but we've got to go to him. We've got to go to the source. We've got to put the focus on the spiritual, not on the physical. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, what is it that you truly value? What is it that's most important in your daily life? What is it that you direct your most passionate, intense energy toward day in and day out? Is it merely to accumulate physical things? Is it merely to seek after physical riches, material riches? Or is it to seek out spiritual riches from God's Word, from God Himself? Verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. See, focus. Focus. That's what Jesus was talking about in this sermon to his disciples, to his students. God knows that if our lives are just scattered about, in all these different directions that we'll fail at everything and we'll miss out on the things that are truly significant. Living God's way of life demands that we maintain our focus on what really matters, on what's most important. If your eye, or the mind, that's what he means there, if your mind is focused right, then your life will be full of light. You'll see where you're going. Your life will be free from worries and fears. In Luke's gospel, it says, "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give you light." You'll be filled with God. The whole body will be full of light, as Christ says here in Matthew 6. Verse 23, it says, "But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" That's what you see in this world today. Great darkness, thick darkness. It's because people have lost all sense of priority. That's why the world is so dazed and confused. That's why the outrage is so selective. That's why things are so complicated. We're living in thick darkness, spiritually speaking. We don't have any idea anymore about what's important, about what's of real value. We've lost even natural affection, as we read there in the first segment. Radical individualism. That's the religion for most. Just serve the self. Me first. Me above everyone else. Me above God. Verse 23, "But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness." Well, we read that. And then verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. That's a dogmatic statement Jesus made there. You can't serve God and this world. You either have a single focus on God and his way of life, or you're of the world. Two ways of life, Herbert Armstrong used to say. The way of get versus the way of give. The way of selfishness or the way of unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others. Verse 25, Christ says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Put the focus on the spiritual. Don't worry so much on physical things. God will provide. God will provide. Look at how much he's concerned about his creation. He knows every hair on your head. He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows these things. Is he concerned about you? Is he aware of your trials, your problems, your weaknesses? He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with everyone in this world. And that's coming. That's coming. But this world first needs to wake up to how drenched it is with sin. It needs to wake up to how sick our society is. Verse 26 says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. See, God looks after animals. God looks after his creation. But man is also cut off from God, as you can read about there in Genesis 3. And so for 6,000 years, God has, in so many ways, he's had a hands-off policy. He's been working with a few along the way in order to prepare his government for the wonderful world tomorrow. But man has gone his own way, away from God, away from God's truth. But here Jesus says to his disciples, after talking about the fowls of the air, he says, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? God wants to look after us. God wants to protect us. God wants to feed us. He wants to educate us, as I covered yesterday. He wants to fill our lives with his character, with his nature, with his love. But man doesn't want to be close to God. Man has rejected God. God has been booted out of the classroom, booted out of the home, booted out of the workplace, booted out of political institutions, booted out of churches. That's right. Look at what Jesus taught. And then compare it with what's taught in churches today. Talk about a difference. Verse 28, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Why are you worrying so much about things? Why are you beating yourself up over physical things, over mistakes of the past? Why are you fretting over the past? Think about the future. Focus on the future. Focus on the spiritual. Verse 29, and yet say I unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies of the field. Can God provide? Will God provide? Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, what Christ is trying to get across here in these few verses is for us to quit trying to do things the way we think things should be done. Quit getting behind causes that we think are important, and focus on what God believes is important, what God says is true. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to his example. Follow in his steps. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows we have physical needs. I mean, we're physical human beings. But he's not worried about it. What he's really concerned about are your spiritual needs. Are you being satisfied spiritually? Are you being filled with spiritual food? Do you have a right spiritual focus? Because if you do, then he'll provide even the physical. He says that in verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Even these physical things, if you seek after, if you search after the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, God will look after you. That's why it's so important for us to open our eyes to what is really happening in this world, to see what God sees when he looks at this world, so that we can mourn, so that we can agonize, so that we can have compassion, and so that when we pray, thy kingdom come, we can really mean it. This is not just some token statement we throw in. Oh, thy kingdom come. Yes, yes, yes. But never mind that for now, because my physical life is so important. I've got an empire to build. If you're watching and praying, as Jesus admonished us to do, then you pray thy kingdom come with fervency. You mean it. You mean it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will fall right into place. Put the focus on the spiritual. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's verse 34. God says, don't have all this anxiety about tomorrow, the things that you need for tomorrow. Going back to that prayer outline earlier in the chapter, pray for the daily needs today. Pray for the spiritual needs that you have today in your life, in your marriage, in your family, for your children. It doesn't mean that we go through life without planning or preparation. Not hardly at all. I mean, that's a principle that's reinforced throughout the scriptures. But we have to walk by faith. We have to look to God. We have to put the kingdom first. We have to seek the kingdom first. We have to seek God's righteousness. And then he'll provide those other things that we need as well. He knows. He knows what we need. He knows we have physical needs. He wants to look after us. He's a father. He's your father and mine. He's our provider. He's our teacher, our educator. He's the authority in the family. He's responsible. He's the great giver of so many gifts. Look to him. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for all of us, for his children, to look to him as the supreme father and head of the household. Well, we'll have to reserve the material in chapter 7 for another time. We'll finish this. Eventually, we'll finish this sermon, as it's called, Sermon on the Mount. But I think that's as good a place as any to break off today. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial here in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream, of course, is available at kpcg.fm. If you want to send us some feedback, the email address is td@kpcg.fm. Tomorrow, I'll be flying back to the UK, so Brad McDonald will be filling in for Friday's program. And then next week, we're hoping that we can broadcast for the first time live from Edstone in England. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you again next time.